Today, right, we are here to embark on the last of our core module series. So in this core module series, it has been so much about imparting truths for believers to ensure that we are believers who are built to last. To ensure that we're not just here for the here and now, not just here for passion or for hype, but we are truly built to last. And so on the very first series, or on the very first sermon of our core modules, we had Pastor Tim who taught us about running the distance, and that what we are running is not a Christian race on who can run faster or slower, but it's about running a Christian marathon that we need to end well. And then afterwards, Union also came and taught us about remaining steadfast in trials, that no matter what storms in life may hit, but we must remain and cling on to the faith and hope in Christ. And also, last week, Wei Hong shared on wisdom in decision-making, and one thing that struck me particularly about what he shared was how it is the littlest decisions, right, that leads to some of the lasting changes. And it was also in the littlest decisions that we should and are able to look to God for wisdom in, because of God's unchanging nature. And so today, we are going to be leading from that on how some things may seem little, but it does make a world of a difference. So, you know, everyone out here, I think more or less, right, most of you have attended conference and camps before, right? So we have a student conference coming up. So you know, I really, really love conference and camps, right? You know that moment where you just, when you stand at the back and you look at everyone, you will see everyone lifting their hands, lifting their voices up onto God. And you know at that moment that you had no doubt that God's presence was indeed there. You know, many of us, we had those kind of amazing encounter when we had an answered prayer from God maybe, and where we just felt that everything that God said was so real, so real. But along the way, right, you would realize that after conference, all of these things will not remain the same anymore. You know, there was one camp that was especially memorable to me, because during that camp, right, many years ago, I really wanted so badly to give up my leadership journey. At that point of time, I felt like I was the worst LGL ever. And when I went to camp, right, okay, so don't scold me, okay, but when I went to camp, right, at that moment, I was just like, this will perhaps be my last camp. I'm just going to lead my life group for this camp right now. After this camp, I'm just going to quietly give my farewell speech, tell them to hang on and persevere in God while I'll fade into the background and fade away. So I made those very secret plans inside my head, and I told God that, God, I think this will be my last with you. And so it sounded like a breakup, and it really almost became. And I remember at that moment, right, I just felt so discouraged because there were so many conflicts happening in my life group. And like I said, I felt like the worst LGL ever. I felt like my skills were terrible. No matter how much I try, I can never ever become better. But I remember on a Thursday night when I was just worshipping together with the entire spiritual family, I was so in awe of who God is among everyone, that God is not just a God of my life, but a God of this church. And at that moment, I remember I was telling God that, God, yes, I will serve you. If you ask me to make this decision again, I will do it all over again for you. And so at that moment, right, I was making my promises to God that, yes, I will do it over and over and over again. You know, some of you must be thinking, what an idealistic fool. So it was quite true, because afterwards, right, straight after camp, the discouragements from reality started to confront me again. You know, after camp, the conflicts in my life group were still there. The struggles didn't go away just because I responded. My studies were still quite terrible as a life group leader, and I had to continue leading my life group week in and week out. And I still feel like my skills did not drastically improve just because I responded and told him that I want to obey you. And I felt that nothing much changed, and all of a sudden, I found myself at the very same spot as I was before camp. Is there something wrong with the mic? Yes, right, okay. Yeah, okay. So, right, you know, at the moment, right, when I felt like... Okay, thank you. So, at the moment when I felt like everything was at the... I found myself at the same spot as I was before camp, I remember asking God once again, why do I still want to pursue you when everything else seems so tough? And perhaps many of you were in this position before. You had an encounter with God. You had a breakthrough with Him. You decided to commit to Him, to do big things for Him. Like, I know that SP camp, you're having camp right now, right, SP? Yeah? You know, during camp, you have those moments that you'll be like, yes, God, I want to obey you. I want to commit my life to you. But along the way, after when camp is over, reality sets in and things start to distract us. Things like discouragement, like the problems, the struggles, or just inconveniences. You know, you told God that I want to go to life group every single week. And my next moment, you suddenly realize that life group is 1.5-hour journey away from your home. So you'll be like, I can alight along the way, right, and go for something else instead, or go for mukata instead, you know. So along the way, we will feel like something else, many things are demanding our attention. Our CCA, our studies. But at that moment, we need to ask ourselves, what changed? Was God who spoke to you in your camp and conference and who was there in your breakthroughs different from the one who is in your daily life? You know, the God who spoke to you, the God who gave you that breakthrough, the God who answered that prayer, that same great God is the same great God in our daily life as well. And today, right, I want to share about this one value that will tide us through some of this season. These such seasons where our Christian marathon just seems so long, so dreary, and everything else just seems much more pleasurable, much more convenient. And this is a precious value called self-discipline. Self-discipline is a consistency in our lives of living for what we truly believe in. The key for self-discipline, it lies in consistency. It's not just in the multiple breakthroughs that you had, but in the consistency in the day-to-day. And so the title of today's sermon is Self-Discipline for Growth from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24-27. So if you are taking notes today, the title of today's sermon is Self-Discipline for Growth from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24-27. So you know, back then, right, I think Pastor Tim has ever mentioned before that the 1 Corinthians was a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinth church. And he mentioned before that it's a metropolitan city. So basically what this means, right, is that the people come from all over different parts of the world. At that point of time, maybe the cities, different countries, right? And then they will gather there. It's like a global hub. So it sounds like Singapore, basically, okay? So this part, we have all heard of it before. But let me tell you a fun fact today, okay? I found out, right, that, you know, right now, in present day, every 4 years, we will have this major competition called the Olympics. And it's happening next year again, okay? Let's hope that Joseph Schooling will win again. Yay! So Olympics will be happening every 4 years, right? And so Olympics actually originated from, you all know which country? Greece. Wow, how you all know? I only know it, found out like maybe last week, 1 week ago. So Olympics originated from ancient Greece. And Corinth, right, was actually a place that hosted major games for Greece every 2 years. And so, you know, who else, right, would be more passionate and knowledgeable about sports apart than the Corinthians? And, you know, this is the picture of boxing, right? Because back then in the Corinthian church, right? In the city of Corinth, boxing was one of the most major sport that they had in the Greek game. So as we read the following passage in 1 Corinthians, you would realize that Paul used sports to relate to the Corinthians on the topic of self-discipline. And so shall we read together? 1, 2, 3. Do you not know that in a race, run in such a way as to get the prize? Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last. Run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body. And so how do we stay self-disciplined for growth in the long haul? Let's go straight to our first point. We need to stay focused on the prize. We need to stay focused on the prize, verse 24 to 25. You know, Paul said in verse 24, to run in such a way as to get the prize. And what is the prize? Paul answered, they do it that many of the athletes who go into competition, they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we, as Christ believers, we do it to get a crown that will last forever. This is the price that we are running for. You know, in verse 24, 25, right, the games that Paul was talking about, it's not the kind of games that you play with your friends casually at a basketball court. And also certainly, right, not in the skill of like your primary school sports day, like, you know, the three-legged race, and then you run together with your mommy and papa. You know, the games that Paul was referring to is very similar in skill to modern-day Olympic games and World Cup, where everyone will camp together. It's like the major event of the year. And you know, every athlete who goes into this kind of race, they will train very hard to make sure that when they get there, they only have one aim, and that is to get the crown, to get the wreath, to get that medal. And why not talk about, if you're talking about sports, let's talk about something closer to home. We have our Joseph Schooling, Singapore's first Olympic gold medalist. You know, I shall not deny that when, you know, the Singapore flag, like when they were rising up, right? Then I was one of those who also like cried while watching the video. Like I teared a bit only, like a little bit only, like maybe two tears from my eyes came out because I'm just like, I'm so proud, like Singapore's flag is over there, okay? So I was one of them who was so glad of our first gold medalist. And if you know about how he trained, right, you would know that he starts his training at 5:30 a.m. every morning. And he does it very consistently. He does it in the winter time when the water is icy cold. He does it in the summer time when even though everyone would queue to go into the water, but everyone is out there playing. But while his friends are playing, he's still training. And so self-discipline was so hard for him. But he was so disciplined, he was so focused for so many years of his life. And why is that so? Because he was training and running for that gold medal and that standing on the podium, that moment when he stand at the podium holding the Singapore flag and winning that pride and honor and glory and also some Milo truck for the nation. And so what is the motivation for his self-discipline? Because of the crown, because of the medal that awaits at the end. The motivation for his self-discipline is that piece of metal. But the motivation for our self-discipline is the eternal prize. And if an athlete were to train so hard for an Olympic gold medal honor that can be so easily forgotten once the next gold medal is won by someone else, how much more should we be training if we know just how valuable our medal is at the end of the race? You know, church, we have to recognize that as long as we are running the Christian race, there is a prize and that there is a reward. And that even if it's delayed gratification, it is still gratification at the end of the day. So where is your reward in? You know, I've come to find that, you know, in the Word of God, I've discovered that our greatest reward here on earth is found in the relationship that we have with Christ. This is our greatest reward that we can ask for and pursue for in our time here on earth. And our greatest reward in heaven is found in the eternity that we can spend with Christ. That eternity where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, where all of us will just be spending with exceeding joy in Christ. That is the greatest reward that we can ever ask for in our time here on earth and our time eventually in heaven as well. But we need to be careful because sometimes, right, through the daily grind, our bad days and worst days, they have a way of making us feel that the future is impossible. You know, sometimes the problems that we have on hand, the pain, the suffering, the fears, or even the worldly pleasures that we experience, sometimes feels like it is so much bigger than the reward that waits at the end. But today I brought here a coin. You know, if you hold up a coin, right, and you hold it close enough to your eyes, you will realize that a coin so small when held up against the sky can block our view of the entire sun. And you will realize that the closer the coin is, the bigger it seems to be. And many times our distractions are like this coin. It blocks out our view of the eternal reward at the end. For some of us, this coin maybe simple distractions or small distractions like technology. You know, before you know it, you spend 1 hour on Facebook or Instagram watching cat or dog videos. You know, before you know it, you're just spending your time on technology, connecting with people when actually you should be connecting with the life-giving source. Some of us, our coins can be the worldly successes or achievements that we have been always asking for. Even though achievements in all of our hearts can mean different things. But friends, it is never worth it when we lose sight of the life-giving source just because of a coin that is so small. Because at the end of the day, what is the one that gives us life? What is the one that gives us light to even be able to see everything on earth? It is the sun. But sometimes our distractions look so big and eternity looks so small that we can only see the coin and not the one that truly gives us life. and truly gives us a light to see. And so what many of us need right now, right, actually is this shift in perspective. What have you been running for? What is the price that you have been expecting? Is it the mortar board that you can wear at the end when you graduate from university? Is it the internship that you have always wanted? Or that relationship that you've always been yearning for? Is it financial stability? But what happens when you get them? What happens when you finally get that mortar board? Or what happens when you get that 4.0 GPA that you've always been asking for? You realize that after a few years down the road, nobody cares in your working when you're working whether you got 4.0 GPA or you got 3.0 GPA anymore. You realize that this does not make your life complete. This does not give you life at all. In fact, you will realize that all the joy that you can get from all of this isn't even enough to last you for a lifetime. Even for the sportsman in this place, after hitting your personal best, that joy and that honor lasts for a little while until you realize that you need to set a new record or someone else come and break your personal record. You know, I used to be that kind of girl, right, who in my poly life, right, I had a very specific aim. I wanted to get into local university. And coming from a polytechnic, to get into local university, you have to get a GPA of at least 3.6, right? So I remember, right, last time when the GPA, they say that it will be out at 9 a.m., I will set my alarm clock at 7 a.m., and I will really wake up, and I will just refresh my phone on the website, right, nonstop until the results are finally out. So I realized that when they say 9 a.m., right, it's a lie, because it will come out around 7:30 a.m. So I remember last time, right, I was really very extreme. I was really like, okay, so 7 a.m., I will refresh and refresh and refresh, right? I remember that day, right, when I refreshed, right, and the results came out, right, it took me 5 seconds to take it in because I realized that my GPA at that point of time was 3.0. And even though 3.0 may not sound like the worst grades ever, right, but to me, right, for an 18-year-old girl, right, I really felt at that moment that my future was doomed because I can no longer get into a local university, knowing that I cannot get 4.0 the next semester to go and make it up. At that moment, for all I know, right, I felt like my future was doomed. I was so angry, I was so sad. I cried for 2 hours straight until I had very puffy eyes. And I remember that night when we had prayer meet, I was so angry when I went to prayer meet. I went to prayer meet so angrily, right? I felt like I stormed into axis. And I remember I was just so angry with God. I was just telling him, is this what I get for serving you? Is this what I get for committing my life to you? But I also remember that night. It was the night of divine exchange. That when I started worshiping, I realized that there was this peace overwhelming my heart that my future is safe in God's hands. And that's how I suddenly had this revelation that going to a local uni does not guarantee me a great future. But knowing God, serving God, guarantees me that my future is in the hands of the God Almighty. And that, to me, is greater assurance than in going to a local university itself. And I remember that day, right, I experienced that kind of peace that the world can never give. And until now, I know that I've never experienced that kind of peace unless and apart that I get it from God. And you know, right now, I graduated from poly quite a long time ago already. I can say without regret that on my graduation day, what made me the happiest and the most joyful was not that paper certificate, that diploma that I got. It was the fact that in my time in poly, I gave it all to God. I gave it to serve Him. I used my time, my energy to serve Him. At the end of the day, I know that I gained so much more in eternity than I can ever gain from a paper certificate. And at the moment, I had no regrets because that coin, that paper certificate that was my coin at that point of time, it ceased. And I know that the greater glory to pursue is found in Christ, is found in eternity. And I had no doubt to say that until now, poly was still my best years of my life. And if you're in poly or uni, think about it. It's not that certificate that you want to pursue at the end of the day. It is the fact that at the end, when you graduate, you know that you have made a mark for eternity. And so, do not forsake the sun just because of a small and puny coin. Likewise, we should not forsake our God of all creation just because of temporal glory and honor that is here today and gone tomorrow. And today, even if you get that dream job, even if you get that GPA you always wanted, even if you get that popularity or recognition you have been yearning for, they are all just as small as that coin in the grand scheme of things. We need to stay focused on the reward that we have in Christ, that there is no greater reward, and I can say this with all my heart, than in knowing and serving our God. Amen? And so now that we know what motivates us, this is the thing that we need to do. We need to go to point two, to stay focused in our training. Stay focused in the training. Verse 26 to 27. Stay focused in the training. You know, in verse 26 and 27, Paul says that we do not run like someone aimlessly. Do not fight like a boxer beating the air. But rather, no, I strike a blow to my body. We strike a blow to your body and make it your slave, so that we will not be disqualified from the race. You know, when Paul was, it says that we should strike a blow to our body and make it our slave. We can say this with full faith because God has given us self-control. Has given us this self-control that we can bring our body, our desires, our temptations, that all of those things that we may face under control so that we can honor God. So, you know, back to Joseph Schooling, let me give you a glimpse, right, of what it takes to get an Olympic gold medal. First thing for him, right, he had to fly over to the other end of the world, to USA, at a tender age of 14 years old. And at that moment, his parents had to take turns to fly over to take care of him. And at a point of time, right, since he was 14, they could only spend time as a complete family for only about 3 weeks a year. And at that moment, all of the tuition, the accommodation, the transport and other expenses, all the training expenses over the years has required a hefty sum of $1.35 million. And then, like what was mentioned, he had to wake up at 5 a.m. and each time he has to clock in 5 to 7 kilometers in the pool each training, be in the winter or the summer. And one of the worst things, in my opinion, right, was that he was not able to eat any fast food, including McDonald's. So imagine, right, the tragedy when you find out that McDonald's seaweed shaker fries is out, but yet you cannot go there to buy the seaweed shaker fries. To me, this is plain torture. But this is how self-discipline looks like. Can you imagine how much of it is required every single day? It would be painful, and I think we all know that well. For those who exercise a lot, it is painful. Unless it can be so emotionally draining. It can be so mentally draining and exhausting. We need to give out so many things just to pursue the goal. And sometimes it feels like that as well when we stay disciplined in this Christian marathon. There will be days when we have to will ourselves against our body, to strike a blow to our body, to experience that pain, just so that we can persevere and persist in this Christian marathon. But you know what, guys? Sometimes our convictions and spiritual life, they don't die in the hands of valley low moments. You know, in valley low moments, right, many of us will come to recognize that, hey, I need God. I need to seek God. If not for God, I cannot get through this. But sometimes, right, our convictions and spiritual life, they die in the hands of the daily grind because it just may not be every single day that we experience breakthroughs in our faith. But you know, faith is not seen, and faith is not the most evident when we lift our hands up to the heavens and we worship, or when we bow our heads and our knees. That is not the greatest display of faith. The greatest display of faith, the greatest and the most evident moments of faith are those moments when we may face temptations and every part of our body are yearning and craving for that temptation. And yet, we know that by saying no, it honors God and we say no to that temptation. Faith in sin in those moments where you may want to sleep in a little bit in the morning. You want to stay inside your comfort zone for a little while more. But you know that that few minutes, that one decision, that one small decision of waking up a bit earlier, that one small decision of choosing to pray at that moment, to give yourself time to worship at that moment, that is more important than your comfort zone and then sleeping or then and giving in to any of like your tiredness. And that is faith. Faith is seen in those moments, right, Now, you may not want to be the one who share the gospel. You may not be the one want to be the one who speak those words of encouragement or speak those words of truth into or words of love to your life group members or to people out there. Because you are fearful, because you are insecure, but at that moment you choose to go against these fears, you choose to go against your emotions, and you choose to obey God still. That is faith. Faith is seen in those little decisions. And to do all those, we need self-discipline. Our faith ought to be evident, not just in lifting our hands to the highest. Our faith ought to be evident in our daily grind. Our faith ought to be evident, and it's the most extraordinary when we live out our ordinary life. You know, one of my greatest life motto, right, when things get tough and as a leader, when sometimes every part of me is just struggling to serve God, to love God. But I always hang on to these three words very tightly, which is to do it anyway. To do God's will anyway. That even when I may not be feeling good, I may not be feeling the happiest, even when it can be painful to have to face, confront my hurts, but at that moment, I always tell myself that I have to do God's will anyway. I have to obey God's word anyway. Because I believe in what God has promised in His Word, then what He has said in His Word is true and real. Many of us may be familiar with the story of the walls of Jericho falling down. You know, back then, God has commanded Joshua to lead his army to march around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, and on the seventh day, 7 times. And I sometimes imagine, right, that if I were Joshua or just one of his soldiers and God had commanded me to march around the walls for 7 days, right, like in Joshua saying, I think by maybe the fifth day, right, I would give up already. I would be complaining the whole entire time. I would have done it with so much doubts and fears. Maybe God knows, that's why when Joshua told the army to do it, right, he told them to do it quietly also, if you can read the Bible. But I would be filled with so much doubts and fears and wondering, what if it doesn't work? You know, on the first day, I'll be like, what if I'm marching around all this for nothing? No, by the third day, I might be wondering, what if all my effort goes to waste? And the worst thing is that it is tiring. It is physically tiring to march around the wall. But Joshua and his army, they did it anyway. They obeyed God anyway because they know that even if it did not make sense, even if they do not understand, they place their faith in God who has commanded them. And at the end of the day, God delivered. They had faith in God's word and commands, even if their emotions or struggles tell them otherwise, and even if they did not understand. You know, sometimes in our lives, living out the convictions and staying close to God may feel like the worst or toughest things to do. But some days will definitely be tougher than others. Some days will just be mundane. But we need to remember that in those moments, we need to do God's will anyway, even if every part of our body tells us otherwise. We need to pray anyway. We need to seek God first anyway. We need to turn up anyway and be present in the midst of this church family anyway. Because all of this honors God. Now I want to take this time to share about my mentee. She is someone who has really inspired me greatly on what it means to be disciplined and focused. You know, this is Jesslyn. This is Jesslyn, and for RP people, you will know we have this inside joke that Jesslyn is known as a faint girl, and we call her a faint girl, right, literally because she faints a lot. Like, there was even once, right, y'all don't dare laugh, right, y'all want to laugh, but don't dare laugh. So there was even once, right, when she was bringing her grandfather to the polyclinic for a checkup, but instead of the grandfather getting a checkup, she ended up being the one who had to get a checkup because she fainted while waiting for the doctor. So many of us, right, who serve with her would not even know this because she is one who turns up to service and life group every single week. Her devotional life and her quiet time is always very strong. She's always sharing about the verses and the songs that she of her worship on Instagram on her own and also to her friends around her. And I've asked her before, and she even shared before that even after she wake up and she regained consciousness after fainting, she would feel like all the energy was zapped from her body. But I've asked her also that if that's the case, if it's so tiring, if it's so draining, And actually, honestly, it is a legit reason not to turn out for service that you have fainted, right? Just discharged from hostel on that Saturday morning. Why do you still want to come? But this was the answer that she gave me. And this is what she shared. That sometimes I do have the thought of staying at home to rest because it can really feel very tiring. But I always end up throwing that thought away because I tell myself that as long as I'm able to travel, I will go for service. There was once when I just got discharged on a Saturday after morning. I went home, changed, and went for an RP meet before service. That day, the urge to skip the meeting and service was real. But that was also the service that God spoke to me. That even though afterwards I was so physically tired, I was spiritually renewed. And entering to university this year has been a whole new ball game with so many submissions and tests that I've never seen before. But I think that difficulties should never be a reason to compromise on seeking God and serving Him. I realize that if I ever give myself excuses to skip quiet time or service just because I'm not at my 100%, then subsequently it might become a bad habit. And in those times when I feel so overwhelmed by my weariness, I hang on tightly to this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, friends, self-discipline is not just about a personality or upbringing thing. It's not just about some people being more free-spirited and some people being more driven for their goals. I used to actually think that self-discipline is only reserved for one kind of people, and I'm not that kind because I love to sleep a lot. And I feel like I'm the least disciplined person I've ever met. I procrastinate on my homework a lot. But I've come to learn this thing that self-discipline is practiced because we value something. We exercise self-discipline because we value something beyond ourselves. We value God, we value the eternal reward above ourselves. And that is why we are willing to practice self-discipline, because we recognize that it is more important than what we feel, what we think, what our body says. And today, let our value of all of this be found in Christ. That if we value Christ above all else, including ourselves, let us learn to consistently say yes to God time and again, and no to ourselves in all that we do. You know, as we conclude this series, this is my desire that, you know, church, we would get the most important thing right. We have a very short time here on earth. But our most important thing here on earth is not to pursue happiness. It's not to pursue that pleasure, that hype. It's not in seeking the goals and the achievements or seeking riches. That is not the most important thing. Because all this will be here today and gone tomorrow. Our most important thing here on earth, with this very short time that we have compared to eternity, is that we spend our life, we discipline our life to make daily decisions such that at the end of the race, at the end of the day, we can say what is mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we can say this with full faith that I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And this is the hope that we cling on to. That we cling on to this, that there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. To all of us here who have been longing for His appearing, that we will be able to say this with full faith. Shall I put away our things and rise?